Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable. Then floating out is Spanish Vision, but very elegant at the 150. The darling of the turf has raced clear 3 weeks incentivised, and it's very elegant. 10 group ones, and now the greatest of them all, the Melbourne Cup. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are previewing the $4 million All-Star Mile. It was worth $5 million, but they've had to reduce it a bit this year at Caulfield and also the Coolmore Classic at Rosehill Gardens. My name is Ben Caluzzi. I'm your host, and I'm joined by Will Alford and Nick McGualter. Boys, we've got a few new followers last week after Kingsley came on. So to all the new followers, thank you very much for coming on, and hopefully you share the love with your friends, and we can continue to grow this.
We can add you into the family, that is.
Absolutely. Boys, how's the week treating you? Carlton versus Richmond, round one, finally back to normality.
Yeah, it's good when the footy's back on, but yeah, I've had a bit of a prick of a week, to be honest. I went away last weekend, and yeah, I've been crook since Sunday, not self-inflicted. On Sunday, I thought it was self-inflicted when I woke up with a busted, broken toe. And then I progressively got worse. So I've had a bit of a shit week, to be honest. A few bad beats as well. That's never good. We won't touch on Tuesday at Warrnambool. But anyway, yeah, ready to rip into another big weekend. Last weekend was good. We saw the slipper winner, J-Mac on. How good? up and about.
Up and about. I had my first NBL bet the other day. Got on the multi with the lads. 30-1. I'm thinking, gee, this is a great bet. Probably should be.
Considering it was $4 before $1.35 link was added.
Exactly. So it's gone down by 1 point. Chris Goulding's missed like three free throws. He's made a three, but his foot was touching the baseline. So no good there. Not the baseline, the sideline. Sick. Right, just sickness
right,
all around.
Right up there with like other horses fumbling in front of you and taking you out, sort of shit.
So it was my first NBL same game multi, and it may be my last. So we'll see.
You're both absolute fucking degenerates, is my thoughts.
What do you mean, cunt?
You've literally had your largest bets on the worst races, Saturday races I've ever seen.
They wouldn't beat me.
We'll get to those now then.
You're balls deep in a benchmark 70. It's embarrassing. And you call me sick.
I am actually. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
They're only rorts if you're not a part of them, but
Nico, Will and I touched on the All-Star Mile on the review podcast, but what are your thoughts on it just quickly before I have a little say on what I think? Obviously, RV have been very unlucky this year with how many horses not only got injured, not Mr. Brightside, Alligator Blood. You've had another superstar, and I'm Thunderstruck, who's no longer with us, and lots of Sydney horses don't want to come. But what are your 2 cents on the All-Star Mile this year?
Well, it's absolute shambles, and they've fallen back on their sword slowly but surely here. I think either two things then happen. It either needs to go back to how it was, where it was a vote, and that engages the community and people that are trying to get into racing, or you need to make it like a $10 million, $15 million slot race and have it sort of, there's 10 slots at $1 million each, RV chucking their $4 million or whatever they're chucking in now, it's a $14 million slot race. And yeah, just have 10 of the best horses in the country, even have a couple of internationals. For $14 million, you could have arguably a Cox Plate field over a mile and it'd be a cracking race. So to me, it either needs to, you need to make it that, or you bring back the fan engagement, or you just scrap it and you put the money into. I think you boys touched on a bit of a triple crown series. You could have the Futurity into the Australia Cup, and you could, maybe put $2 million into the Australian Cup and make that. What would that be? Would that be $4 million?
Five million. Three at the mill at the moment.
Make that $5 million equal the same prize money as the Queen Elizabeth. So if you want to run on a nice, good four track or a bottomless heavy 10, you can take your pick. Add another 500,000 or so to each the Futurity and the Or, and have like a $500,000 bonus if a horse wins all three races or something like that. I don't know.
It's something interesting. Chris lines. Waller did say that Fangirl, they probably would have got her if the race was worth 10 mil. So
it's crazy. Pretty disappointing that $4 million can't get you the field that you want, but I suppose that's just the world that we're living in.
Yeah, that's 2024 for you, really. 10 mil would have got Fangirl, but 4 mil isn't good enough, and she's instead going to be running in a George Ryder next week on the same
let's
day,
not dodge the fact that
750,000.
There is probably a bit of dodging Mr. Brightside in all of this as well. So,
some horses probably don't want to face a tempo at 1,600 metres where they're going to go 12, 13
I wouldn't want to get my heart broken by a fucking moral either.
But I do want to just touch on one more thing. The rail is out 6 metres this week. I think that's a shocking look, really.
Yeah,
when
what's
you've
the
got,
go there?
It is what they're saying.
They did say this a while ago, and I was like,
Well, I went back and looked at the history of the race. It was at 6 metres when Regal Power won this race at Caulfield. It was at 7 metres when Mystic Journey won the first edition at Flemington. And it was out 8 metres at Flemington when Zaki won. So
8 metres, Flemington's a lot different.
It is a bit different to 6 metres at Caulfield. But here is my 2 cents worth. Caulfield, the MRC, and Flemington, the VRC. For them, the All-Star Mile is an afterthought. It is not their main race, and they can't give it the love that it deserves as a $4 million, $5 million race, as it has been the last few years.
Yeah.
My call is when Moonee Valley reopens, the All-Star Mile really should be permanently fixed at Moonee Valley, because we actually have the support card that will give it the love and attention it deserves. Could this support card at Caulfield on Saturday is atrocious. Yeah. Next week on William Reid Stakes Day, we'll have the group on William Reid. We'll have the Alistair Clark for 3-year-olds over 2040. We'll have the Typhoon Tracy, which has now been rebadged the Don Casbolt. We'll have the Sunline Stakes. We'll have the Alexandra Stakes.
So you're going to have another, what, 6 group races on the card?
Exactly. So the All-Star Mile, you plonk the All-Star Mile onto that card, all of a sudden it's another super day.
Yeah.
And the Valley, I know I've
the
got
the
Moonee
Valley. The for the Valley just suits the race so much better.
Exactly. I know I've got my Moonee Valley cap on right now, but even if I didn't work at Moonee Valley, I'd still be saying the same thing.
For what it's worth, I agree.
This is a race where you're never going to get 20,000 people to there. So when you have the All-Star Mile at Flemington, it's like a ghost town. When you have the All-Star Mile at Caulfield, it's only marginally better. When you have the All-Star Mile at the Valley, it actually, the atmosphere of 10,000 at the Valley compared to the other two tracks, it's just, it's astronomical. And we are the only ones who can run the race with the rail in the true position, because we have all these lesser average meetings. And right now we've only got 4 group ones. So we've got the Moyer at 1,000, the William Reid 1,200, the Manicato at 1,200, and obviously we've got a pretty good race over 2,040 metres. But You plonk a 1600 meter Group 1 standard of race in our autumn, and we can actually give it the love it deserves, and it would be a great race there, and we'd be able to actually treat it like one. Right now at Caulfield and at Flemington, I just think it's not working. It is an afterthought. It's not their big race. Caulfield has Blue Diamond Day, where you've got the Diamond, you've got the Oakley Plate, and you've got the Futurity. Three cracking Group 1s. Flemington, they've got Newmarket Day, they've got Australian Cup Day, and the support card on the program for Caulfield and Flemington just isn't up to standard for a race of this nature.
Yep, all fair chat. Bot doesn't give a shit, so we'll just pass on him.
We'll pass on Bot, but
yeah,
that's my 2 cents worth. Once the Valley reopens with a new course, it should go to the Valley permanently. Then we'd have more continuity, and we'd have a club who actually owns and cares about the race and can market it well. All right. Bot, what do you think about the rail out 6 metres? How do you think it'll play there at Caulfield?
You know, probably on pace, I guess. I don't know. I'm not thinking too hard. Just on pace, as always, it's Caulfield.
Yep, fair chat. There is a bit of a southerly as well, which could mean...
Oh, not much, though.
Not much? What are they saying in terms of Ks per hour?
I cannot remember off the top of my head, but it's... I know there's a southerly, but I don't think it's too much. I have to double check that. I probably should have double checked that before the podcast. But I do know there is.
That's fantastic insight for the punters, for the bloke who's had his head in the form book all day.
Yeah, but no, there is a southerly, so it's an advantage to be on pace in the shoot. So, yep.
All right, thanks, Bot. You're giving us bloody nothing so far. We're going to go straight to race three.
I'll give you something now.
1200 meter benchmark 70. It's over 1200 meters. I said that twice, but anyway, I'm a little bit rolled up here. Carlton, Richmond have just started to kick away a little bit. It's making me just a tad nervous. So White Bear is the $2.40 favorite from Wolfie, $5, Furious, $6.50, Kentucky Casanova, $10, Ice Symphony, $10, and the Haas, $10 as well. But you're keen here. You've only had a few bets on the Caulfield program, but give me something. Give the punters something.
Well, I'm giving the punters more than something here. This is... So I haven't been this keen to bet in... I cannot remember the last time I was so excited for a Saturday Metro meeting. And I hate the meeting, to be honest. But there are two bets that I'm unbelievably excited about. One of them is White Bear. And the second one I'll say now, it's Sir Atlas in race 9. I've bet the complete fuck out of both of them. And I don't do multis. I'm not a multi-man, but I've doubled them as well. I think it's both of them combined. Like, so I've got White Bear $1.86. The Benalla race that came through, yes, it's a 64, but times and margins were there. It'll go forward. I think it'll sit outside the lead. And the rest of these are 1400 meter horses. I think Wolfie's probably the biggest danger, and he's going to get back from the gate, and he's more of a miler, so I think, yeah, $3. I took $3 earlier this morning, and I think $2.50 is a fair price. If you bet 365 are offering $2.50 right now, I think that's fair betting. And shall I just go to race 9 now as well, or just get it out of the way with my double? All right.
Just hold your horses. But, yeah, I could definitely come with. That last start win, as impressive, it was really, really impressive, but I do want to say he probably has beaten nothing.
No, he did, but the times and margins are there. Like, you can measure these things. And also another thing I forgot to add to that was Michael Moroney, who I'm going to be honest, I don't have a great relationship with Michael Moroney. He's not my favourite trainer to...
You've never spoken to him in your life, mate.
No, but like betting wise, I don't think he's much good. But the last 50, he's won 8 from his last 50, median price $15.95 at 1.5 times wins versus the market expectation. So he's in form, and I think he goes in and out of form quite frequently. But when he's in form, you can back him with confidence. But when he's out of form, you don't really want to touch him at all. So I think White Bear is a very, very nice bet. And the first leg of my double I'm having.
Yeah, caught plenty of pressure last start and absolutely pulled away from him. I think a lot of those horses in that race just cracked under that pressure of race. But yeah, he looks like he'll go on with the job and looks a nice horse, looks a good bet, and he has been crunched. Race four is the Vobis Gold Comet, 1,000 metres. Vivianne, she's $3.40 favourite from Lem Picker, $4. Jigsaw, $4.40. General Bow, $4.60. Samillion is $8.50. They look the only chances. Nico, not sure who you're backing here, and I'm very interested to hear.
I think Vivianne's close to a good thing. Perfect draw in seven, just slightly away from the inside. She's flying.
Is she?
Good second up. Hey?
She wasn't very good first up.
Oh, I'm not really worried about first up. She normally improves into her preparation.
That's fair.
Yeah. I just think she's a really easy bet. She drops to 54 against, like, she's getting a bit of a weight relief against like Jigsaw and General Bow and a few of those horses, and I don't know if they're even much better than her. So I think at the end of the day, it's significant. I think Lem Picker, she's also fast, but I was happy to be with Vivianne. I think Frosty, he's flying at the moment. Barrier 7, he can put her wherever she wants, and 1,000 metre horses in 1,000 metre races.
Yep, can't
she's
knock
five,
it.
Five from nine at 1,000, so.
I think she'd obviously need to improve from last start, but she can do.
Yeah.
I thought it's, I think it's between the Allerton horses, to be honest. I thought the only other chance was General Bow. He usually goes right fresh, and he's just so consistent in this sort of grade. He's gets in okay with the 59. It's not as bad as Jigsaw with the 61, who I think could be cast. He didn't come up last prep. I don't know if he has this prep. And
he was Lem cast Picker, a long time ago, and he got lucky with a couple of runs.
Yeah. Lem Picker just could map awfully here. Locked away. I know it's only a small field, but she could have a big task ahead of her if she's last on the fence. So I thought it was between four and two as well, Nico. All right. Let's go. I think I better mention RD. He absolutely loves Vivianne, so he'll be very cheerful that you're.
He loves Vivianne because of me.
Tipping her up, yeah.
I backed her a lot as a young horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. And I didn't catch her last prep when she went on that winning spree. Maybe once when Bot tipped her.
Yeah, Sandown, I think it was. Yeah.
All right, race five is a listed event over 1,600 metres. Aaron Bay was a good last start winner. He's $3.30 from Nugget, $3.40. He's the class. First Immortal, maybe he's the class. He's $3.80. And Keats, $4.80. He's going to be the beneficiary of this rally out to 6 metres and possible leader bias. Nico, are you sticking up for Keats here?
Oh, yeah, for the first time in a while, he gets something in this race. He looks like he's going to get an uncontested lead. I think Aaron Bay won't even sit outside him. I think Aaron Bay will just sit in behind him. And I just think 55 kilos, he's going super. He's going to lead on his ear. I don't know. Normally he's a bit of a bunny for a few horses and normally gets attacked early and he doesn't fold up, but eventually gives in under pressure after there's no more bullets to fire. So I just think barrier one, perfect. Aaron Bay was good last start, but probably had the right run in transit. Nugget's a bit of a yo-yo horse, and he's got 60 kilos, and First Immortal, he's only first up. He's going to have bigger targets over a bit longer, I would suspect. So I just think Keats is the here-now fit horse, should jump on the bunny from barrier one, and I think he'll give a massive sight.
Yeah, I can't knock it. He's obviously the one fit, up and running. Draws one, so he's going to go straight to the front. And I think he'll get a loose lead. I don't think there'll be anything within a few lengths of him, to be honest.
Like it's a bomb-proof bet, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. If there was eight horses in this race, he would not miss each way, but you can't bet each way over only seven in the top two. But
yeah, but you can still bet three places on, let me check three, that six, five. On here. Yeah.
Well, he'd be odds on for top three.
Maybe $1.80. But that's still not a bad bet. You can just go like one by two or something. Don't worry, I'm making good use out of these four and five place bets. $1.60, three places. That's a bit skinny.
Ah, there you go.
Just back him to win. I think he's just an easy bet to have. Don't have to have a lot on at $5 thereabouts. Good bet.
All right. An easy bet to have comes up in the Redoute's Choice Stakes. 1,100 meter 2-year-old. listed race, and Bold Bastille is looking for back-to-back wins. She's $1.60 from Skycap, $8. Comanche Misses, $8.50. Yes Lulu, $9. Immortal Star, $11. I don't think you need to spend too long on this race. Bold Bastille, if she runs a strong 1,100 metres, which I think she will, now she's third up. She was awesome last start. I think she's going to charge straight to the front at a course that will be suiting front runners. And I thought the last start effort was super. She beat a horse named Drifting, who the market had a real good look at. She still pulled away. She was far too good. The camp did admit that she's been a little bit behind in her work. But with added fitness here, this is a soft kill. This is a horse that could have been going around in the Blue Diamonds and the Slippers had she been fitter and not behind in her work, as the Hayes boys have said. And she's probably not going to be a 1,200 metre horse in time, but this 1,000, 1,100 metres is perfect. She gets in fine with 56.5, and I just don't know if there's anything here that can beat her.
No, she ran fast time at Flemington and ran fast late time too. It was fast on fast. $1.60 is probably fair. I think she's more like a $1.40 chance.
Is there any price where you get involved here, Bob?
I don't know. I'd have to have a long, hard think about it, but I probably could, to be honest, if I really wanted to.
Start thinking.
If your horse in race three wins and you get $1.70 the fare, you're having a good think.
Yeah, I probably might. Actually, you know, like I'm not a big, like it, at these sorts of odds, I'm never too keen to bet them, but
Well, now that he's half got the multi sickness, we'll work on him.
Oh, mate. This is my second ever multi.
Yeah, the listeners out there, like,
wait till you see two dead set stinking morals. You're like, oh, let's put them together.
You don't know how much of a big thing this is for Bot to be actually taking a multi. Like, he despises them. He talks them down. And what have you taken? About $14, the double? Race 3 into race 9?
It was $3 into $4.80 and a $2.90 into $4.80. And, I'm onto it a bit. And, But the only other multi I've ever had was Palaeli into English Riviera, and actually won.
Yeah. That was the only. Well, if White Bear wins, it'll be Red Bears. Do you remember those things?
No.
No.
Sorry, you're joking.
Anyway, Bold Bastille was probably more like a $1.40 chance. So if you want to, chuck it in a multi on Saturday,
well, I actually have a multi for the punters. I'll elaborate on that later on.
Nico, anything to add? Bold Bastille.
Yeah, moral.
Right, beautiful. But just for your information, Red Bears were a pre-mixed vodka can that got me through school with, so look them up. I don't know if they're still going around, but they were the grouse.
How long ago was that, like 15 years ago?
Yeah. I'm turning 25 in 6 days, punters, so
jeez,
make sure you buy me a present. Race 7.
What a sub to the 6th, they wanted to.
The MJ, the Mystic Journey, the inaugural winner of the All-Star Mile after coming off a dominant win where she smacked the boys in the Australian Guineas. What a horse she was. Peace Treaties, $2.20 favourite from My Balame, $4.80. Autumn by $5, Sione, $9, Lady Jones, $13, Papillion Club, $19. Nico, you got something here?
Yeah, well, it's blowing like the absolute north, but I thought you could have nearly a hamburger with a lot here. I think Peace Treaty is one of the better bets of the day. I think she's a very good filly. She's not squibby. I think she's got a bit of substance to her form. She's got a ripper turn of foot. Maps to be in a great position from three. Car on, 52 on her back. Just looks a great race for her. Upon open, I don't know how My Balame was $3.30. She's just going. I don't even know if you can say that. She's got more issues than Bot. Let me get up her gear changes. She's had 1,000,000-1 gear changes. She's got bar plates, lugging bit, pads, first time.
Yeah.
She hasn't won in over a year. And I can't see how she's any better than three fence. How the fuck she's the price she is beyond me. So she's getting out now and she's probably going to start a lot bigger than what it is, and you're probably not going to be able to lay at the place because not worth it. But, yeah, as we speak right now, if you could get on, definitely be laying her the place. She won't be running a hole. But, yeah, Peace Treaty, one of the better bets for me on the day. I would love some support just to ease up because I haven't had a bet yet. I think sort of 240, 50 would be nice.
Yeah, I'm in full agreeance. This is one of the better bets of the day. I'll probably say it's second best of the day. Her last start winning the Vobis Gold Carrot at the Valley was pretty rude.
Rude?
Good.
Arrogant.
Arrogant.
Whatever buzzword you want us to use, Bot.
She looked healthy doing it, Bot. There's another one of your buzzwords. She went forward there on a even enough gallop, and then she's broken benchmark home. She has, what is the punting form figure? -7.2 lengths above the all average benchmark over 1200 meters at the Valley. That is good going for a filly who's only having its fourth start. I think she's going to lob probably OSL here or nearabouts to the speed with 52 kilos. Jamie Carr is absolutely back. And I think she would have been hard to beat in a harder race at Flemington a few weeks ago. They didn't go there. I'm not exactly sure of the reasoning, but I know the Roll the Dice team have a very strong opinion of this horse, and so do the Freemans. You just have to look at its last few SPs, and it's just on this real upward trajectory. As Nico said, My Bella May, she's an easy one to pen, I think. And Waltz on By, she's definitely the class runner in the field, but she draws 10 here. And the map is just going to be a little bit tricky. I think she's going to have to circle them and make this long, sustained run to be winning the race. And Peace Treaty might just be off and gone with the 5 kilo pull in the weight. So pretty keen there. There's a few horses sort of longer in the market who will be looking for further, but Peace Treaty just looks the one for here and now. Right, let's get on to the big one. The All-Star Mile, 4 million, 1,600 metres. Mr. Brightside, $1.80 favourite. Pride of Jenny's $3.80. Ayrton's into $10 after seeing some good support today. Cascadian, $13. Holy Man's, $23. And Desert Lightning, $26. Fellas, let's start with the map first. We know the two horses in front are going to be Pride of Jenny in front and probably Buffalo River at her coattail. But what else goes forward here? Attractable, Desert Lightning, and maybe Puntura. There looks a real degree of speed here, and they should be strung out the field, I would have thought.
Yeah, I hope they string out because that means Mr. Brightside can slot in somewhere. Craig's not stupid. He'll figure it out. He'll just slide across and hopefully end up.
Is he 1-1 or is he 2 back, 1 off?
Nah, he won't be 1-1. He'll probably be 3 back, I'd imagine, but he'll find a nice enough spot, and I think $1.85 is bang on the price I've got him. I think that's fair. I think if I get another $1.95 on the day, I'll have a long hard think about it, but I'll probably end up betting two-tone Betfair, $1.95 the corpse. I think that's really fair betting. I'm against Pride of Jenny. She's had 34 days between her last run and what will be on Saturday. So some query itself, I would have thought. I don't know.
100%.
What's the go there? Why is she had an issue or?
I think so. I don't have any information to back that thought. But I think so. She's gone. She was going to have two possible runs in between last run to now, and she hasn't had either.
Maybe they just thought
she. The whole reason they didn't go to the Futurity was because she wanted a 1600 meter lead up into the All Star Mile.
She would have.
And then she hasn't even gone to the 1600 meter lead up.
She would have won the Blamey.
Yeah.
But I think it's all smoke and mirrors, to be honest. I think there's a bit of shit happening.
Yeah, I think Cascadian's probably a really fair price. Best price for right now is $14. I think that's
Is he just going to fall outside of this elastic band they speak of? He's just going to be chasing from too far out.
His best runs, it's always been like this. Cascadian's a high pressure horse, and all of his best runs are in high pressure. He's drawn middle, so I'd. He'll get back, but I don't think he'll be last. Well, hopefully not anyway.
He could be just peaking next start.
Yeah, maybe, but...
Straight cup again.
Yeah. He was good in this race last year, and he did it second up, so...
Mm.
Yeah. Mr. Brightside, though, good... like he the last start rating was just... And the way he did it was just... It was just perfect for what he's going to do on Saturday, and I think he runs pretty much his peak, and if he doesn't, then like I think he's still got enough of a gap on him. I'm still sort of questioning that peak rating that Pride of Jenny did at the Champions Mile, but I think she was quite like I think what she did 100% was
Fugazi.
Yeah, I think what she did first up was I've looked at I know I said I'd sort of validated that run in the Champions Mile, but the more I look at it, I still think that I think she's more consolidated that the run behind Amelia's Jewel than beating Fangirl, Mr. Brightside, and Alligator Blood. So
she's short enough sub 4 bucks.
I couldn't have her running the number she did in the Champions Mile. I think it's more situational, but
there's no way she's doing that off. What is it going to be? 40 days.
Well, no. She's in the right camp too.
That was
Kiramar's a freak, but if he pulls this shit off, well,
that Champions Mile win was on the backup. She had two strong southerly wins when she won the Empire Rose and then backed up and beat the Cox Plate horses. They were coming off the Cox Plate, and potentially they were a little bit less dynamic coming back from 2,000 back to 1,600 meters. It was an afterthought for them. For Pride of Jenny, she was up and running, and I think she just got blessed. I think Mr. Brightside's a $1.60 chance here. If he's within sort of 5 lengths of Pride of Jenny at the 600, I think he'll run her down. I think Pride of Jenny's, she's going to make this interesting. A lot of horses in this race will be absolutely cast next start, and Mr. Brightside won't be one of those because he's just the ultimate professional. He came in first up and he was still a little bit fat in the yard. If they were going to beat him. That was their chance. He then improved second up. He's going to improve third up again at the mile, and I actually like him drawn out in 11 because it just means he's not going to run up arse. He's going to be one off the fence, hopefully around midfield, and I think he'll get her. I think he'll win by a length and a half, and I think Cascadian can run a place. We've got Mr. Brightside at $6.50. We backed him a few months ago on the six-day racing. Go and download the app, sign up on the App Store, and I know we had Amenable at $6 last week, and it was a sick beat. Seeing him go down to $1.75, I don't think it will be happening again this week. Prayers. Nico.
Yeah, I've got nothing left to add. He'll win. Right. It's a matter of how far.
I just think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that, like, I think you can't have, unless Mr. Brightside's a long way off his best, I don't think, like, I don't want to say Pride of Jenny can't win, but I don't think she can run the number that she probably needs to if Mr. Brightside's anywhere near his form. And everything suggests that he will run it. I think the only horse that can actually match him if Mr. Brightside does run his number is Cascadian. He's $14. So I probably will end up betting, to be honest, because I think he probably will get to the price I want him to get to. So the way I'll be betting is I'll be backing Mr. Brightside and I'll be having something on Cascadian at $14. I think $14 is a really big price, to be honest.
Yeah. We've also
had can't see anything else winning.
On Cascadian at 31's the win and also 850 the place. So if he runs a drum, that's awesome. We had a tiny bet at Pinstriped as well at 50s and 14's the place. But first up, and he's had a few issues, probably a donation, but we'll soon see. Race 9 is the Country Mile Series final, 1600 meter benchmark 80. And as the name suggests, it is for the country horses. Number one is Sir Atlas, $4.60. Bot says you don't need to look further down the page, but for reference sake, Dashing Duchess is $5, Jaconi $9, Unseen Ruler $9, and Severlana is $13. Bot, tell us why you like the Lindsay Smith train runner.
It's just all, it's all progression. Like, it's just, it's a country series final benchmark 80 handicap. It's top weight. And it's top weight for a reason. It's run close to the fastest closing splits of the meet at 5 of its 6 career starts. It hasn't been met with a scenario where I think that it can run, like it run to its best, and it's only in its third preparation. I think, yeah, just the splits last time, it's a run at Moonee Valley, three back behind a Wild Imagination, where it started $6 officially, I'm pretty sure, $5.50. The splits there from taking back from the wide barrier, it'll be midfield from gate five, maybe forward of midfield, and honestly, I think it'll put a hole in them. I think I've got it $2.50. I think $4.80 is like genuinely like a complete gift. I had a look at the like I priced up the double, and I landed on like $4.65, and it was paying $14.40. So I thought, shit, I may as well. So I've had a really good bet the double, and I've backed both of them for a lot. Singles as well. I think, yeah, two bets I've had now, and like I honestly, like this is, I haven't been so excited about betting on a Saturday in, I honestly cannot remember since when.
You can hear it in his voice, punters.
I think, shut up. I think it's a, they're real opportunities. I think it's not just like a, you're going to beat market by 3%. I think this is an opportunity to beat market by, even if they don't firm 20% or whatever. I think like you can, it's like, the other, like last week when we backed, what was its name? Vibrant Sun. Like it was in a different world. What price are these? And I've, like you can make both of them really, really short. And I think Sir Atlas is a unbelievable bet at $4.80.
Huge. Say no more. I don't need to add anything.
Yeah, I don't. No, I looked
at the numbers and I thought this would be a cracking bet. And then, sure enough, little robot goes, "Yep, smash it."
Beautiful,
sweet.
All right. Anything else for Caulfield?
No,
I don't. For the thrill seekers out there in the first, I'm not keen, but Carini does look to get the perfect setup.
It does, but it's just short.
And it's half of you know what, so leave me out of that.
Muramasa will improve a lot, but he's just got to carry a fair bit of weight.
Carini's thrown in there.
Yeah, he is, but I wouldn't back him to do it.
A length off a tissue is good for him.
Soft pace.
If it is really leader-ish, Ambassadorial Race 2 probably gets every chance as well. I thought he was pretty good last start, but don't know if I want to be betting just yet. That Marble Arch form reads pretty well, I would have thought.
Yeah.
I reckon that's carpet. About it. Oh, the last race, Ray Magnerio, I think I want to be taking him on. He's been up a long time, and I think the Griffiths de Kock camp are a camp who sometimes don't know when their horses have come to the end of it. And I think there's every chance that, look, he looks the obvious favourite. And it just looks so obvious that he should just go and win this race. His form before, well, even to be beaten only 2.5 in an open plate is just unbelievable. But it just seems he keeps
Since we've touched on the race, I love this Grand Impact. I think he's a proper horse.
Yeah, it could be.
But I just want to see him first up.
Yep.
Barrier 11, reasonably long layoff. This horse is a group class sprinter, maybe even a group class horse over a touch further, but like I think come the spring we'll be talking about this horse in good races.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to bet. If he wins on Saturday without us, well, so be it, but I just don't think it's a high percentage play.
I thought Brudner was slightly over the odds as well, the 3 for Chris Lees and Mark Zahr. He has claimed the scalp of Lady Laguna before, and he did beat the favourite home in the Oakley Plate. So
Mahaba also goes good second up.
He needs to improve out of the yard as well as...
Yeah, but you said he was... Start. Was he fat as a house or was he sweating like a pig first up?
Oh, he was doing a bit of both, but well, he obviously can improve.
At 9.50, like if you're happy to put the pen through Ray Magnerio, we think Grand Impact can't win.
He's a horse that... Not
really a 1,200 metre horse.
I think you wait till the parade, though, with Mahaba. Yeah.
Oh, Brunel and Mahaba at 8 and 9.50 punters. There's a little bit of something for you.
All right, let's go over to Rose Hill Gardens, where weather looks It's warm, same as here. There is a small chance of rain. Hopefully it doesn't have any bearing on the track, and hopefully they don't overwater this track, because we do have the Golden Slipper coming up next week, and I doubt they'll want any lane bias or the like. So you really wouldn't think that they'll overwater it, and hopefully there's only a small blip of rain, so I don't think it'll have any effect on the races. But Rail is in the true position, unlike Caulfield, even though they've got the grand final next week. we're going to race four to start. The Pago Pago, two-year-old for the Colts and Geldings, 1,200 metres. You win this race and you're into the Golden Slipper next week, and they've got the Phillies edition in race three, which is the Magic Knight. But we're only going to focus on the boys. Gatsby's looks a very nice type, $2.30 from Coleman. Maybe if you're given the diamond, he was favourite, $4.60. A Node, $8. Divana, $8. And King of Rasu, $12. Nico.
Best bet of the day for me here, Gatsby's. I think this horse is the diamond in the rough that can challenge the only two chances in the slipper, I believe. I've had on authority that if he wins here, he's going to back up. So I think the best price out there at the moment is about $34 and sort of $9.25. The place with Ladbrokes and Neds. I suggest you go and have a small piece of that, just so he's running for you next Saturday, because he'll be winning here. I've got a lot of time for Coleman, but I heard a couple of things about what sort of happened in the lead up to the diamond and what sort of happened in the sort of small time after. And I just think this is a bit of an afterthought for him.
The end of prep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Gatsby's is a serious horse. The form has well and truly stood up, albeit in a maiden yesterday. Nash could have won by 10. He won by 4.5, throttling down into reverse. But Gatsby's did it on a deteriorating track, and I think he'll just explode. The Son of Snitzel on good ground, Barry 3 perfect. I think he's a serious horse. And I think he will make his presence felt in the slipper next week if he wins here, like I think he should.
Yep, I'm on
it. He's third pick for me. I think he's a better chance than Straight Charge.
Wow, there you go.
Straight Charge is 1,100 metres squib, I reckon.
There you go. You heard it here first. I've had something $41.11 to play. So he needs to win to make the race, because he's only won a maiden, obviously. And it would be surprising to see a horse win a slipper off this preparation.
But someone also won the Pago Pago last year and won the slipper.
It's Waller. Yes, very true.
He knows how to do it.
Very, very true, that is. All right, we go straight to race five. The Sky High Stakes, 2,000 metre Group 3. Lindemann, $1.85. A little bit skinny from Just Fine, $2.50. Athabascan, $6. And Stockman, $19. Interesting race, Nico. Are you with one of the top two?
I don't have an actual win bet in the race, but I just thought Lindemann was short enough. Mm. He's not exactly a prolific winner. There's going to be a lot bought into his 2.5 length defeat from Think It Over and Fangirl last start, but these type of Goldilocks horses don't always just win the race when they should. What beats him, I don't know, because it's a very thin race outside of it. But yeah, depending on what price he is, like if he starts like $1.65, $1.70, which a few people think, don't have to risk much to make some money laying him on the fair. So I think just monitor his price. And if he's $1.70 or less, I think he's a very easy lay proposition.
Yeah, sweet. Oh, I didn't know what you were doing with that race, so that's a very interesting take. Race six is the McGarden Stakes, Group 3, 1,100 metres. We see the return of Airman, number one, $3.20 from Red Card, $3.60, Omni-Man, $6.50, Dashing Legend, $7. I've got all the time in the world for this Airman. I think he's a great horse, but, and this is a big but, I don't know where he's going to map here from Barrier 2. I know he's got James McDonald on, but
he's not beating her.
I don't think this is a horse with great gate speed, and I agree, Nico. I think Red Card is just the here and now. Jaws Barrier 1 is going to go straight to the front, and she is a bomb 1,100-meter horse.
She beat him last time they met.
Correct. She was awesome winning first up, and as Nico just said, she beat Airman fair and square the last time they met, and she gets a massive weight swing from their last encounter. Mm. She carried 58.5 the last time they met. Let's see what Airman carried. Airman carried 56 kilos. 56, So that day she carried 2.5 kilos more than him. This time around, she carries 55. Airman carries 59. So what is that? A 7.5 kilo weight swing. She's more of the 1,100-meter horse. She's going to go straight to the front at Rose Hill. And Airman, I know J-Mac is a gun, but the Hawks team are probably just going to tell him just to be negative and sort of flop out of the gates. And I don't think they have to tell him to be negative.
I think she'll just be too slick regardless.
And I don't think Airman has great gate speed. He's probably looking towards races like, I don't know if he's good enough to get in an all age, but he has run a group on level maybe. Before. But yeah, he's probably looking at those 1400 meter races later on in the prep. So I just don't know if the intent's going to be there, and it will be with her.
Yep. Fully agree. She's 2 from 3, second up. Unbeaten track and trip, 2 from 2. If the track's got a little bit of cushion in it, that's going to be no issue to her. She goes on good. She goes on soft. I think she's just another one of these bomb-proof bets. Hippo, gate one, weight swing, fit horse, intent, wins.
Good bet. Good bet.
Yep.
You nearly get $4.
Why Group is, one, Coolmore. Sorry, why is Rich Fortune $17?
Because it's a muncher.
Is she half in the chair?
She's no fucking good. Chair.
She got beaten 2.5 by Imperatrix last time.
When's the last time she won?
SP of $151.
Should have beaten Ray Magnerio, who started, $12 in the Oakley plate. That's a fair price.
Maybe she is a little bit of a big price, but...
No, she's not. She's no fucking good.
We've got the winner at $3.80, so... That's all you need.
Don't donate on Rich Fortune. She's no good.
Race 8, the Coolmore Classic, 1,500-meter Group 1 for the fillies and mares. It is, what is it? It's a quality handicap. So there is a bit of a spread in the weights, but not that much. Zoo Gotcha carries a top weight, 57 kilos, $4 favorite from Tropical Squall. Draws out in the car park, 750. Kamachi, 750. Samana, 950. Jenny Lala, $10. Revolutionary Miss, 14. And Yonts, 14. This is a race that was taken out by Espiona last year. She just got over the top of Pride of Jenny. It's worked out to be a pretty good form race over the years. And usually they go lickety-split here because it's always a massive field. It's always fillies and mares who are trying to get that Group 1 win or placing on their breeding page. Usually it brings out the best horse. I think number one, Zoo Gotcha, showed that she has returned to somewhere near her best last start. She beat Lady Laguna, who we know what the form of that is. She was flying, and then she went on and won the Group 1, beating Espiona and Think About It last start. She's only going to improve up to 1,500 metres from the 13 here, and she draws for the Suck Run in 2. I think she's good gambling at around $4. I think she's extremely hard to beat. Yonts will be thereabouts. She's probably one you could have something on, and I have had a really small bet on Hinge just because we got $34, but she drawn out in the car park. Might be a little bit hard for her. But overall, I think Zoo Gotcha is going to be too good. I don't know if the three-year-old fillies are going to measure up here. And Tropical Squall is not well-weighted at all, 54.5. When you look at a horse like Kamachi, who's only got 50.5. So Tropical Squall's been hit hard with those few Group 1 wins on her CV. And Zoo Gotcha, although she's got to give these field 2 kilos, her best is simply better than these. And I think she gets the right run in the race with the best jockey in the race.
Beyonce looks big at 15s.
Oh, fucking hell. Anything else you want to get off my notes?
Yeah, she's the other one I could have something on for sure. Nico, is that who you're backing?
Yeah, 54 kilos, barrier one, considered a nice spot. If Johnny uses his brain. I think she's a great bet. This has been a target race all along. Kieran said that the Group 1 Coolmore was her race before her win at Caulfield. So when Kieran sets them up for grand final day, well, he's normally not too far away.
She's fourth up and she'll be fit. The only query is she just got such a PR last start on a slow speed. And it just might be a bit of a shock to the system if they go 10 above here.
Yeah, but she'll be just 15s. So
she was a good horse before her injury.
Yeah.
But you thought she was Group 1 quality before she hurt herself, so.
Well, she was just as good as she ever was last start. I think $15 is a great bet. And how do you lose if you back Zugotcha and Yonce?
You heard it here first.
No, we can't lose. Chance you can start doing back some form and having 11. A bet in Sydney? You reckon how do you lose and you're backing a $4.40 chance and a $14 chance?
These
big
ones.
Wild world out there for you, Wilbur. Let's go and have a piece, son.
Easy game. All right, we've got Richmond are in front by 1 point at halftime at the G, so heating up there. We'll finish this podcast soon and we'll get to watch it. Race 10.
Touch on the ninth quickly. Shout out to the boys. Nine. I don't think it's going to be wet enough for Just Folk, but he is flying at home.
Was this Just Folk?
Yeah, he's hard.
Are they going to run from barrier 14?
I think he is. I had something each way at 51s and about 11s the place. And I saw barrier 14 in the jockey and I thought, this is fantastic. Well and truly just kick the man while he's down. So that makes it hard. But anything can happen with that clown on top. So hopefully he can manifest something.
MD, riding Rev Miss in the Cornwall, who he's won about 5 out of 6 races on her. He's got some crazy record.
Yeah, well, let's hope he can throw Just Folk over the line into a place, even.
All right, let's hope.
It's not a strong field. If there was a bit of rain, I'd be a bit more confident. But, we'll wait and see, I guess.
All right, and race 10, just to wrap things up, we see the return of Tavvy Time, 10, the 7. $1.75 favourite.
Jeez, that's short.
I think you'll get a little bit better than that, but I think he's just too good for him here. That last start win, where was it at? Was it Newcastle? Newcastle, the home track. Gee, he put an absolute hole in him.
His $1.33 was probably value.
Won by 4. And I just think it's going to improve again here.
So is Gaze coming out as well.
Oh, is it?
Hasn't been yet, but it is.
Second up, gets the right run from barrier 5. Chris Lees has a massive opinion of this guy. And I know horses like Winchat, I think 1,400 metres is probably the upper limit of his distance capabilities. He's going to give him something to chase Tavvy Time, but I think he'll be too good. I like that he's in race 10 because he's probably going to be wanting to get off the fence and get into those wider lanes, which I'm hoping the inside does just start to chop up as the day goes on. And if we get a $1.90, I think he's the best bet of the day in Sydney. He looks extremely promising. I think the only way is up. So he's good gambling for me. Right. Anything else around the grounds?
No, that's all. Nothing on Friday.
Nothing. I don't think I've got anything either because Shartin's on Saturday. And we know what we say when Shartin's on Saturday punters. No thanks because the quality is usually quite low. They'll have the Hong Kong Derby there next week, which we'll be a lot more interested in. Mm. All right, Buckley Prey.
Just completely launch the double. Sir Atlas into White Bear or whatever it's called. And
Red Bears.
That's my value because it's four. No, I don't know what price it's now. Like the double is now, but I couldn't split them like for the best bet. Maybe I'll say Sir Atlas is my best bet, but what's a lay? It all looks pretty. Jeez, it's some bad races at Caulfield on Saturday. Outside of the two that I want to bet into, but yeah, there are some real bad races. Anyway, I don't know. I don't want to lay anything. I don't really care about anything other than ones I want to bet into.
Nico?
My lays can be Lindemann sub $1.75, and my Balame the place. My best bets are going to be Sydney best bet, race 4, number 7, Gatsby's. Melbourne best bet would be race 7, number 11, Peace Treaty. And my value bet would be, I've got two value bets, obviously Yonts in the group 1, and we'll touch on the next one. Well, I'll give you two bets at Pakenham for tomorrow for Cup Night.
What are they?
Well, my value. Well, I'm having two bets in the cup. I'm backing Ashron. I think he ran well last start. Second up in trip. MZ good gate. Happy to be on him. I think there's a value bet in the cup as well. Mystery Island. I back this horse at a bit bigger price. All in and no favours from 15. So they'll just have to be a little bit negative, I suppose. But, yeah, I think he can run a bit of a race at some decent odds. And there's one moral that you can back into Bold Bastille. That's in race 3. Illative should just be winning. So you can take her into Bold Bastille as your double.
All right, sweet as. My best bet of the day... Oh, screw it. None of you have said it. So race 8, number 1, Caulfield, Mr. Brightside. I think he'll just be getting the job done there.
That was a given. I didn't have to say that.
It was still the best bet. I think it might look a little hairy halfway through the race when she has got 8 lengths head start on him, but she'll have to come back to him eventually. He looks set to peak third up, and he meets her on a much more level playing field than the last time they met at the mile in the Champions Mile at Flemington when she had all favours. She was on the back up and she had the southerly wind behind her. So I think he'll get her this time around. He's the best of the day. Value plays. I actually think Stockman will run a race in race 5, Rosehill. I think he'll improve a lot. There are two shorties that dominate the market in Lindemann and Just Fine, but I wouldn't be surprised if Stockman improves a lot. He might be looking for 2,400 metres already, but don't be surprised if he's running into third. Can you get, or is it, might be only top 2 places now after a few scratching, so that's a bit annoying. He probably would have been a good place bet. Jump onto Bet365. You can probably still bet top 3 there anyway. And race 10, Caulfield, the other horse we didn't mention was Crosshaven, number 4. His form at 1,200 metres.
He loves this last horse.
Five.
Toxic.
Oh, I wouldn't be having anything large on him, but his last 4 runs at 1,200 metres include getting beaten by V8 half a length, running second to Sharipa. Should have beaten Spacewalk down the straight. And what was the other? Oh, that's probably been it. Probably his last 3 1,200 metre runs are all really good. And he's $21. You can probably have something small on him each way. I think there are chinks on the favourite, Ray Magnerio, if he's not with us. And my lay of the day is also in the All-Star Mall. Ayrton's been backed into $10. I think you can lay in the place. I think he'll absolutely hate a fast, fast tempo at the mile. And I don't think he'll finish top 4 or 5. So lay in the place. You can probably get around $2.50 to lay in the place there.
Huge.
All right. A couple questions.
Yep.
Let me just load these up. All right, Mazza, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. Can't count this bloke. He says, when is Stu getting another gig on the podcast? The only time we had Stu on, he offered.
He sat there. Like a deer in the headlights. He didn't give us anything. First time on the big stage and he gave us nothing.
We
The race was there to be won and Stu weren't missing.
We might get him on eventually, but we'll see. We probably should have got him on last week for Adelaide Cup where he actually dominated. But
oh, yeah. He was unbeatable last weekend.
Yeah. Fraser Johns, keen on a beer at Caulfield, boys. Can't wait to back some winners. Fraser, I won't 100%. Be there. I've got to watch my local team. But message Nico and Will Alford. They'll be there. So catch up for a beer with them, and I'll be joining in the party later.
Yep. 100%.
Olivia Cold says, is there a horse anywhere in the world currently who, if they were going, would be a shorter price in the All-Star Mile than Mr. Brightside is right now?
I thought about this and I don't know, because that's the off season in the UK. So you there's no high class 3 year old, but I don't know. I guess there's only one horse. There's that filly, there's Fangirl, and there's that filly of John Gosden's.
Liberty Island.
No, she's a mile and a half horse. What's
Innsbruck?
Yeah, Innsbruck, I'd say probably.
Mr. B and fucking Licker.
I don't know about that. She's Breeders' Cup and won a couple good
races.
She's
the king of Hong Kong.
She's
the king of Hong Kong.
Horse.
Would be starting shorter than Mr. Brightside Golden in the All Star Mile. Golden 60. Come on, boys.
Woody?
I think so. Like a I know he'd be for first time Caulfield, but
he's a bit scared to get on the plane though. 60.
Well, that's not his fault.
Not even a $14 million race to get him over here.
They've missed the boat now. He's too old. They should have gone like a year ago. Year and a half ago, and they could have actually. I would have loved to have seen him go to Japan and lap up some of their milers.
Mm.
He would have destroyed them.
Fast ground. He would have loved it.
Yeah. I think
he's not that far to Japan either. Yeah. Could have gone.
Like, I don't think Fangirl would be starting shorter than Mr. Brightside at Caulfield. So I don't think there's anything in Australia that would be starting shorter than him.
She won't be starting shorter than him on a heavy 10 on QE day either.
No. But yeah, I think Golden 60 would be the only one. What about his Monster Duff? Could he run over a mile?
He's retired.
What about
Constitution Hill?
he'd probably win an All-Star Mile. That's serious. He probably would.
He could be the first horse to do the All-Star Mile Briley Grand Annual Treble.
he would actually probably win the All-Star Mile. He's that good.
Have you boys been paying attention to Cheltenham? I think
I've been watching it every night.
I'd have bet the first night that won.
Yeah.
You said I didn't tip you anything. You made me out to be a prick that I just ignored you. I didn't tip you. I tipped you one on the first night. I said
maybe
double.
I was the prick because I didn't pay attention to your tip.
Yeah.
I probably missed it if it was in the group chat.
The two shorties on the first night.
You've got to send me an actual text, mate. I don't see everything in the group chat.
No.
Got their names. Two of the good jumpers over there. I'll get their names up. Hold on.
Anyway, you just follow the market over there. Follow Betfair because they've got it's ridiculous. They've got so much liquidity. Like there's 8 million matched, and the horse can literally go from like Gaelic Warrior was edging out to $4 Betfair with like 6 million matched, and it was Betfair SP was $3.05 in like within a minute. It's just ridiculous how much money that it takes to move the market.
Did you see the car park situation though after the race?
Yeah, that was an absolute cast.
That looked an absolute debacle. Apparently, yeah. It was taking them 3-4 hours just to get out of the place because
I'd love to go one year.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll go one year. Yeah,
yeah. The first night I backed State Man into Lozzie Mouth. Two of their best jumpers over there, so I backed them. I got about 230 the double or something. And then I had a bet again last night, but it was no good. I backed Bally Boy, I think it was called, who's our other star jumper. Then I backed El Fabiola, who was $1.50 into $1.20 or something, and got pulled up, put in a bad jump. So that was a bit sick. But yeah, I don't really follow it enough. But for the layman out there, just back Willie Mullins. And I think his name's P. Townsend. That's probably the Keir Mar, Steve Pateman of the UK, but it does look sick.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's hard yakka. They go for bloody miles and it's pretty slushy going now. But yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Bryce Roberts says, Mr. Brightside and Moral this week, surely. Fill the fucking boots, boys.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Love that.
Hopefully, Bryce. Will we see you there? Give us a message. And hopefully
you'll have to buy me a beer if he doesn't.
Joining the festivities. Yeah, you're going to have to probably, I was going to say rent. I'm still living at home, so maybe just some petrol money will do. Tyce Hunter, boys, describe the scenes if Keats and Mr. B go the double.
Brazil.
We'll get taken down if we tell the audience what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We'll go on a holiday or something.
Bad things will happen.
Something like that, but
Ryan Deeth, he's gone over his question limit. He hasn't listened, but we're going all right for time, so I'll read him out for him. Ben, what do you think about the botter rule? What is this spot?
Oh, it's if I back a horse, it's you back it at their next start.
Oh, right. You run him into form, do you?
If he tips it, it gets beat, then
it'll win
back
at next start.
I feel like the RPH is back bot's next start.
Yeah, bot always goes early on the podcast and in bed. At Will, do you just make up your ratings?
Yes. I just bet on the ones with the best colours.
All out of the cereal box.
At Nico, should we lay every jump's favourite under $1.50?
It's funny you say that because I did.
We should have laid that.
TFLO star, but like that's the only way they're going to get beat is if they fall over. I know that's a logical possibility, but he's shown nothing in any of his starts to date to say that like he's a pretty good jumper. He's never really jumped bad in any of his races. So, yeah, of course you can have something on. Yeah, maybe you can lay something small, but I don't know. Sometimes you just want to say good horses be good horses. I'm not sort of cheering for one of them to fall over or something, and that's essentially, for a horse of his caliber at those odds, he's only going to get beat if he falls over. So,
but to answer the question, I think it was a missed opportunity by us. Given TFLO Star was $1.15, and you probably could have laid it at $1.25. Probably
he was $1.36 to lay. I looked.
All right, so you can risk $36 to try and win $100.
Yeah, I could definitely see the theory behind it. But for what it's worth, I was really keen on Serenade the Stars, the place. I backed him at $2.30. And
what happened?
I had a sizable wager. And unfortunately, Teofilo Star fell right and took Serenade out. So
couldn't he have jumped over him? He wasn't thinking right.
No, like...
Wasn't thinking fast enough.
No, because Teofilo was leading and Serenade was basically 1-1.
It tripped over him.
Outside leader had already gone. And I think Daryl Horner had already tried to get over Teofilo, but he was on the deck before he could even do anything about it.
Yeah.
Just another way to do your dough, but pretty sick. But, it was good day of jumps racing. Instigator won well in the chase, so that was good. But, massive set of trials yesterday, and won't be long before we're down there for the bull. I can't wait. I'm already chomping at the bit.
Yeah. We hope Campbell Rewilla is all good. It's obviously never good to go down with an injury just as soon as the jump season starts.
He's had surgery and he'll be back for the feature meeting at Pakenham in a month's time. So he'll only miss maybe one meeting, I think. Maybe I think one or two meetings. He won't miss out on any big races, but it'll be interesting to see what Gay does, whether she holds any of her horses back. Not that they were probably going to run before Pakenham, like Major Beale and those horses.
Where does Teofilo Star, does he go to a Gallywood?
I would think so. But whether she just takes him to a ratings race now to get his confidence back or a couple of trials. But yeah, I would think he's on a Gallywood path.
Yeah,
I think my theory behind Major Beale going to the Pakenham Cup is for him to have a look around Pakenham, because I think he might go to the maiden on Pakenham on the MJ Burke Day, which is that meeting in 4 weeks' time. But I don't think she'll want to have two of her horses in the Gallywood. I don't think she'll want Major Bill there to upset one of her, to say upset Teofilo Star. But I could be wrong, and I hope she takes them there. But it'll be very interesting to see. Whoever draws the unlucky straw and has Major Bill in their race, they've... they can count themselves a little bit unlucky, because he'll win by as far as he can kick you out. He could fall, get back up, and still win. That's how far.
Ryan Deef says, Will, how horny are you about backing Vivienne this prep? There it is. There's the question. Not as horny as enough, him, obviously.
Yeah, not enough. Not as much as you, evidently. Okay.
Deef says, at Ben, how's you and your missus? Very good, mate. Thank you for asking, and thank you for caring so much. You know, the thing that I've found so funny is that obviously with girls, their soft launch is obviously through social media, Instagram and the like, and mine has been through this podcast.
And, we've seen you on TV.
Yeah, and people literally like asking questions through the podcast and in the group chat. So thanks, boys. I appreciate how much you care about me. Ben, what's your PB over 10 kilometers? Never done a 10KR, never timed it.
Never had to.
Nah, we've only done like 2Ks and 3Ks with football, but I can tell you when I was absolutely flying at Carlton, I ran a 6 minutes 37 seconds over 2K. So that was when I was probably 6 kilos lighter than I am right now. And yeah, I was probably pretty boring on weekends and I was very strict, but that's just a past life now. And Deithy says the last one. Yeah, exactly. When is Gator coming on the podcast?
Well, that's Nico's job.
I will be asking him.
I've assigned it.
It is my job. I am an Oz Racing subscriber, and he actually does reply to some of my emails when I annoy him about a question. So you could say me and Gator are tight. No, he actually does look after his Oz Racing family and the guys who subscribe to him. So he's pretty good on the emails.
He commented on the tweet the other week. So
yeah, exactly. He commented on a Racing Preview tweet. So I will be asking him, and hopefully we get him before the Autumn Carnival's out. You know what? I'm going to send that email right now.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Huge scenes.
You've got one other one to do as well. Don't tell the punters about that. But punters, I've assigned him two jobs. This one's Gator job. And one's another one.
I hate this job. This is for Nico when he's...
Oh, you're the one with the... Give me his phone number and I'll reach out to him.
Oh, that's probably a worse idea. All right. Thank you, punters. Go Mr. Brightside in the All-Star Mile. We are hoping like anything that he can get up, because not only are we financially invested, we are also
emotionally
invested
physically
with some of our great mates who own a share in the great horse. Hopefully he can get up. Hopefully their other horses can run well, and hopefully we'll be celebrating till Monday. Thanks, punters. See you then. No time to get to know you better than him. Tell me you keep me on your mind, cause I can't hide it. Gosh, hide it. I know at times I do some things that you hate, but I can't seem to get you out of my brain. And now you're gone and I'm the one that's to blame. Girl, I wish I could change you. Now I'm fucked up, should lay down with somebody else. Love drunk, girl, it's too hard when I'm with myself. It's my fault, girl, I messed up. Do you turn into memories? And that's everything. Screaming out your name. Oh, I wish you told me you loved me back in August. Did I forget to tell you that you're gorgeous? Say you don't believe me, but I promise. I know at times I do some things that you hate, but I can't seem to get you out of my brain. And now you're gone and I'm the one that's to blame. Girl, I wish I could change you. Now I'm fucked up, you should lay down with somebody else. Sure.